Morning. It's good to be with you again. What a privilege it is to meet together to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a great honor. I'm thankful for this privilege to preach the gospel to you. This morning, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. My text will be found in verse 9. I've entitled this message, Salvation by the Door. Salvation by the Door. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now our Lord Jesus Christ begins this chapter with a parable of the shepherd and the sheep. It's a very simple parable. Most everybody, especially in this time he said this, knew something about the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. Most of them probably were shepherds. Most of them knew shepherds. They understood this parable. It's a very familiar thing to them. And he begins out by saying, truly, truly, verse 1, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He says, truly, truly, a very simple fact, that one that doesn't enter in by the door, you have a sheepfold, and there's a door, there's one door into this sheepfold. And if you see a man climbing up over the wall, if you see a man digging under the wall, you can plainly see he is not the shepherd. He is a thief. He had come to steal the sheep. And in verse 2, he said, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep heareth his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And he's saying, there's a man, he comes in by the door. There's a porter there, a man who guards the door. He sees the shepherd, he recognizes the shepherd, and he opens gladly to the shepherd. The shepherd then comes in and calls every one of his own sheep by name. His sheep hear his voice, they recognize him, and they follow him out. He takes them, he puts them out, and leads them wherever he wants them to go. Very simple parable. Anybody misunderstand that? I love the simplicity of our Lord's parables. They're very simple. And like I said, most of these people understood the physical parable. But look at verse 6. This parable Jesus spake unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. What did that mean? They understood not. Every one of us, we're not shepherds. We don't own sheep. Maybe you do, I don't know. But most of us don't. And yet we understood this. What does it mean that they did not understand these things? What it was, they did not understand the spiritual application of these things. Jesus used a common, familiar parable, an earthly thing, but his focus, his point was to make a spiritual application of these things. And that's what they did not understand. They did not understand them because they were dead. They had no life. They did not understand these spiritual things. But notice Christ's compassion. Notice his mercy in that he doesn't leave men to wonder what he means. He then goes and explains to us what the parable means. Jesus tells us plainly that he is represented here by two characters in this parable. He is both the door and the shepherd. He is both the door. He said in verse 7, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door." And again in our text in verse 9, he says, "I am the door." In verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Now the sheep, who are they? They are the elect. They are his own sheep. The shepherd goes into the sheepfold and calls who? His own sheep. They are his own. How are they his own? They are his own by gift. God gave his sheep to him. You see that in verse 29 when he said this, "The Father which gave them me." They're given sheep. They're not only given sheep, they are purchased sheep. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." He purchases his own sheep with his own blood. And these sheep are bought, these sheep are purchased, and also these sheep are manifested. They're manifested in two ways. They hear his voice and they follow him. Now, today, I want us to just look at this character of Jesus as the door. The door. What does he mean by, "I am the door"? He said that in verse 7 and 8. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them." In this parable, he tells us of a door. And this door is guarded by a porter. And only the porter will only open this door for the shepherd and allow him into the fold. It was the porter that must protect from imposters. That was the job of a porter. Some say he would lay him his whole self over that door, so that no one was allowed, even if he was asleep, that you had to trip over him to get in the door. You couldn't get in except he opened this for you. And everyone who attempted was a thief and a robber. So then, the door only fits one person. Only one person, the shepherd. The door is intended to show forth only one person. It's only to open for one person, the shepherd. And yet I tell you that they are one and the same person. Jesus Christ is both the door and the shepherd. The shepherd. Now, those people that Jesus spoke to, they surely know this. When he was talking about a shepherd, they understood he was talking about the Christ. The Christ. They understood that the character of the shepherd, according to the Word of God, was a picture or a representation of the Christ who was to come. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. You look at verse 11. The Scripture says, "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out." How? "As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." Look at verse 22. "Therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey. I will judge between cattle and cattle. I will set up," listen, "one shepherd over them. And he shall feed them." And notice who this is. "Even my servant David. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it." We know that David here, we're talking about David's son. David's son. God promised that David's son would sit upon the throne. David was already dead. He was already passed away at this time. He's speaking of Christ. He shall set up Christ, the son of David, to be the shepherd. The Christ, the one God would send to gather, to deliver His people, to be His shepherd. How should God's sheep know the shepherd? Now we know that Christ is the shepherd, but how should we know who is the Christ? Who is the one God would send? Who is the shepherd that God would send to deliver and feed His sheep? Well, He must fit through the door. If He's the shepherd, He must fit through the door, and the porter must open to Him. And Him alone will the porter open, so that we may see and know the shepherd. Now, the porter that should reveal the shepherd and allow him to claim his rightful place as the great shepherd is the Holy Spirit. That's who the porter is. The porter is the Holy Spirit and the means. The means by which the porter lets us know who the shepherd is, you have it in your hand. The Word of God. This is how we know Jesus is the Christ. By the Word of God alone. This is the measure. This is how we know He fits through the door, because this is also the door. This is how we know He fits. Now, behold, in the beginning, God promised a Messiah. He promised a Savior for sinners. But God did not leave us without some word as to how we may know Him when He would come. So the Holy Spirit has left us His word, so that we may see and know the Savior, the Shepherd of Israel. Now, anyone who claims to be the Shepherd and does not fit this word, what is he? He is a thief and a robber. He is not the Shepherd. He is an imposter. He is an imposter. So now, let us this morning behold the door. I want to set forth Christ to you. That's my purpose and intent, is to set forth this door. Jesus said, I am the door. So now then, I want you to see that He is the door by which we may know that He is also the shepherd. First of all, to be the door, to be the shepherd, Christ must be born of the seed of a woman. Isn't that the first prophecy? When Adam fell, God came to him and gave him a prophecy as to who Christ should be. And He said this, the seed of the woman should crush the head of the serpent. Christ must come as a representative man. And this is represented by the seed of the woman. In other words, he must be a man. He's got to be a man. Now later in Holy Scripture, it testifies something more clearly, doesn't it? Behold, a virgin shall conceive. And behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bear a what? A son. A man. A man. And that man has a name, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. Now let me ask you this. Who else fits through that door? Can you name one person in all of history besides Jesus of Nazareth that fits through that door? There's only one who was born of a virgin, and that is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Only one. Anybody else is a thief and a robber. Second of all, he must be God. He must not only be man, he must be God. In that scripture I just gave you in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, he said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. He must be a son, but he also must be God. In Isaiah 9:6, it says, unto us a child is born, a man, unto us a son is given. If he's given, he already exists. He's the eternal Son of God. That's who must fit through this door. When Jesus Christ would stump the Jews, he said, Christ, whose son should he be? And they immediately said, David's son. And you know what he asked them? He said, well, if he's David's son, how did he call him Lord? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. The only obvious answer is that David's son is David's Lord. They didn't see that. Why? They didn't see the door. This is the door by which they may know him, is that he is both God and man. No one else fits that but Jesus Christ. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1 it says, I will send my messenger and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant. I want you to see plainly that Jesus Christ is both God and man. Why is it necessary to see that? Because if Christ is not God and man, then he is not the Christ. He must be both God and man. You know, our Lord testified of his deity many times, didn't he? Especially in John chapter 8, he testified of that to the Jews. He said, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. Now that meant something to those Jews because they picked up stones to kill him. He was making himself equal with God because he was. He was. And behold then the door that the porter openeth, this is only to Jesus Christ who is both God and man. That's why Paul said, great, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What? God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. So first of all, to fit through this door, Christ must be man. He must be God. And thirdly, he must be the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. So if Christ was to come, he was to come as a representative man, as a high priest, so that he might offer a sacrifice unto God for sins. When God testified of Christ and his victory to Adam and Eve, when he testified of Christ that he should crush the head of the serpent, how did he testify he should do that? He shall bruise his heel. And God, again, knowing our ignorance, did not leave us without a picture. Immediately after he said that, you know what he did? God offered the first sacrifice. The scripture says in Genesis 3:21, it says, unto Adam and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. God slew innocent animals to cover their nakedness. It was a picture of how God would save his by the offering, by the blood of the righteous. Of the righteous. And from that day forth, God established this, that the only means by which sin should be pardoned and righteousness restored was by the shedding of blood. You know what Paul said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. This is why we read the setting forth of all true religion in that next, in Genesis, through Cain and Abel. You see, the Lord rakes over this over and over and over again because we forget. We forget. You remember in the process of time, the scripture said Cain brought the fruit of the ground unto the Lord. And Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. And you know what the scripture says? That he had respect unto Abel's offering. Why? Because it was Abel understood. Abel remembered through the preaching of his parents that God offered a sacrifice. And so he replicated that. And by faith, Abel offered that sacrifice, looking to Christ. But you know that Cain's offering, God had no respect. Why? It was a bloodless offering. It was an offering of the works of his hands. Abel offered that sacrifice looking to Christ,
who would come and make the sacrifice.
And that's true religion. That's true religion. Acceptance to God by the offering of Jesus Christ. Behold now the door that we may see the true Christ is that He has come to be the Lamb of God to make an offering for the sins of His people. And later on, you can go through Scripture. I've just been there in Genesis. You just keep going. Go to Exodus. What do you see? You see the Passover lamb. You see the great day of atonement. You see the daily sacrifices, the tabernacle. All of that pictured Christ. All of it. All those offerings and blood sacrifices could never remove sin. They had one purpose. One purpose. They were to show us the door. Christ would fulfill all of those types and pictures and sacrifice. Matter of fact, Paul says that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 9. He said, these things were a figure. That's all they were. They were just a figure. A figure of what? A figure of Christ. A picture of Christ. We know this, as I've told you before, all the sheep of God, though chosen of the Father, though given to the shepherd, we by nature were sinners. Sinners. We were by no means any different than any other son of Adam. We were born dead and without hope of ever meriting God's favor or ever offering a sacrifice acceptable to God. Listen, you can work all your life. You can be as zealous as you want to. You can work as hard as you will. You can be as sincere as you want to. There is nothing you can offer God to be accepted. There is nothing. This is true of all of us, even of the elect. I don't want to offer anything. I don't have anything to offer. See, my only hope is in what He offered, what He came to offer. You see, God, having provided some better thing for us in a covenant of grace, has given His elect to Christ. You know what that means? That Christ became responsible for us. Isn't that the most comforting thing in the world? That if God puts you in union with Christ, that means that He took full responsibility of your salvation and left none of it to you. None of it. This is why He must have become a man, so that He might represent you. He is Himself God, and He took upon Him the form of a man, a servant. Why did He do that? So that He might become the Lamb of God. So that He might be able to offer both gifts and sacrifices unto God. You see, high priests, they were only taken among men. God only chose men to be high priests. That's why He must become a man, because He is the great high priest. God made Him a high priest. You remember, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek. An eternal high priest. Therefore, Jesus was the great high priest. And so that He represented all of the elect of God in the gifts and offerings pertaining to God. So when He lived upon this earth, under the law of God, He fulfilled the law of God in the stead of His people. He fulfilled the law of God, both in righteous obedience and in His blood offering. Now this is what the porter required. The reporter required of the shepherd that he must be righteous. The shepherd must be righteous. What good is a sinful offering? That's what we have to offer, isn't it? But the shepherd must be different. He must be righteous. This is what the Scripture says of him. Seeing many things, thou observest not, opening thy ears, but heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. I tell you that there is only one righteous man that ever lived, Jesus Christ. He is the only righteous man. He is the only one whose righteousness pleased God. Isn't that what God said of him when he was here upon this earth? God, in an audible voice, said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Behold how Jesus then fits this door, and only Jesus fits this door. You remember what Christ said when he came into this world? He said, "I came not to destroy the law, but what? To fulfill it." Why? Why must he fulfill the law? Why must he obey the law? He said, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see why he came? Because you and I could in no wise obtain righteousness. We could never merit righteousness acceptable to God. This is why the shepherd must come in righteousness to fulfill the law of God. And that's exactly what he came to do. But you see, righteousness was not enough. Blood was required. The law required both, didn't it? Righteousness and blood. But Jesus Christ came to give both. Righteousness and blood. Not only righteousness, but blood. The priest must have, on the great day of atonement, you remember, he must have put on those white robes. That represents Christ's righteousness, his person. But you remember also, without the shedding of blood, there was no remission. He must also make an offering for sin. Therefore, God said that Christ was to come and satisfy the justice of God for all of the sins of his sheep. Go to Isaiah chapter 53. Look with me. Isaiah chapter 53. Remember now, we're just describing the door. And we're looking to see who fits. And this is only Jesus. This is the only one that'll fit. Look at verse 5. He says, "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed." This is what Christ must do. Though he was rejected of men, he by that rejection must suffer so that we might be healed. So that we might have peace with God, he must die in our stead. And then it describes us in verse 6, we all like what? Sheep. I love the way the word just connects together so well. We like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. But what? But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We like sheep in our depravity have gone astray, but God had purposed to wound Christ, to bruise him for our transgressions. God purposed that all his sheep should be healed and saved by the punishment of Christ for our sins. And now he gives the result in verse 11. What is the result of his suffering? He is to come as the Lamb of God. What is the result? Verse 11. He shall see of the travail of his soul. When Christ was to be made sin for us, when Christ was to bear our iniquities, our transgressions, our sins in his own body on the tree, God says, when I see the travail of his soul, I shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he had poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Behold, Christ would satisfy the justice of God. And the way he should do this is that he should be numbered with the transgressors.
Can you not see that only Christ fits this? Is this not clear that he alone is the door? That this word only describes him? For it was only the spotless, sinless Son of God who alone was made sin so that he might justify sinners. So that he might enter into the sheepfold and call us out. It was there upon Calvary's tree that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. And when justice saw our sins, hell was unleashed. The reproach of them that reproach thee has fallen on me. Is there anybody else who fits this? It is only Christ Jesus that fits this door. And what's the result? God's satisfied. When he offered his soul as an offering for sin, God was satisfied. Justice now could demand no more. Therefore he cried aloud, "It is finished." Salvation for the sheep has been accomplished. Sin has been forever put away so that God himself cannot find the sins of his people. Jeremiah chapter 15 verse 20 says that, doesn't it? In that day shall the sins of Israel be sought for, and there shall be what? None. None. Why? Christ, as the Lamb of God, put them away. And this was determined, wasn't it? This was not accidental. Christ came and he died on purpose. Why? In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 it says this, 70 weeks are what? Determined. Determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to what? Finish the transgression. Make an end to sin. To make reconciliation for the iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision. To anoint the most holy. And this is the next thing, is that Christ must be raised from the dead. He must. To anoint the Holy One. He must not only provide righteousness as the God-man. He must not only offer himself a sacrifice for sin and be accepted of God. He must not only die and rest in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. But he must be raised. Any Christ that is not raised is not Christ. Peter in Acts chapter 2 tells us this, that him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you by wicked hands have taken and crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death. Why? Because it was not possible that he should hold him. Why is it not possible? There was no more sin. There was no more sin. It was not possible. God raised up the Lord Jesus Christ and set him on the throne of God. Here he purposed, the purpose and will of the Savior as he sits upon the throne of God is what? To gather his sheep. Now he's the only shepherd. Now what is the purpose of the shepherd? He said, "I will deliver my sheep." Those sheep that are scattered. What is he doing today? Anybody confused about providence? It's because you're looking at the providence itself and not what God is using the providence for. Everything is moving for one purpose. That the shepherd should call his sheep. Why do we murmur about providence? If that's his purpose, why do we murmur? Because we don't understand. God give us such faith to see that Christ is seated on the throne, that the porter has opened to him. And as the porter opens, the shepherd enters in. And what does he do? He calls his sheep by name. Today, he is calling his sheep by name. You know what their name is? Sinner. That was my name. Sinner.
I'm glad it doesn't say Fred Evans, because there could have been another Fred Evans. But I know there is a sinner right here. And his sheep, they hear that. They hear it. And what do? They follow him. They follow him. Jesus Christ is the only door. And look at your text again. Go back real quickly. Look at your text. Jesus said, I am the door. What does he mean? I am the Christ. I am God. And I am man. I am the Lamb of God that has come to take away the sin of my people by the offering of myself. I am the one that God raised from the dead so that I might call my people and they might hear my voice. And this is his calling. I am the door. Listen, if any man enter in, what is the promise? He shall be saved. Saved. Eternally, perfectly, righteously, justly saved. Justly saved. He is the door. If any man enter in by me, you see, this is the only way in. By Christ. The only way to be accepted of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. To come in. Listen, you can measure the door all day. If you ain't come in, what good is it? A lot of religious people measure Christ. They measure the door. They may even acknowledge he's the door. But I know this. His sheep enter in. His sheep, by faith, receive him. And he promises, he swears, they shall be saved. You just sang that hymn in the bulletin about Noah. You remember when Noah was safe only after what? He entered in the ark and God shut the door. And I'll tell you this, he was safe. There was nothing could harm Noah. And listen, today, if Christ calls you and you enter in, you are saved. Why? Because it has nothing to do with you. It's the work of the shepherd. It's his work that saves you. Not even your entering in saves you. It's his work by which you enter in. If you have any faith at all, it is his work. Therefore, all the glory belongs to him. You shall be saved. I'll ask you this morning, have you entered in? Have you come to Christ? I'll tell you this, we who have come to Christ, when have we stopped coming to Christ? Jesus said this, if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. When we come in to Christ, what do we find? We find food. We find life. We find peace. We find joy. We find all that we need. And when we go into Christ, what does this mean? We can continually come in. Have you any need? Have you any trouble? The scripture says, come boldly under the throne of grace that you may be able to find help in time of trouble. In trouble. Are you in trouble? Shepherd says, come in and find help. What does this mean, go out? Well, this means freedom. We are free. We are free to be led about by our shepherd. When the shepherd goes in and calls the sheep, he puts them out, and what do they have? They have freedom. Free from the law, oh happy condition. Jesus has bled and there is remission. Cursed by the law and bruised by the fall. Listen, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Free. You know, before I was bound. I was bound in this. I could not believe. I could not come. I had no offering. I had no righteousness. But now, by the grace and power, I am able to come. I am willing to come. Are you? Well, that's by the power and grace of God. And you that are come, listen, he says, you shall be saved. In other words, you have been saved, you're right now being saved, and you shall forever be saved. Everyone that comes in by this door. Salvation by the door. Salvation by Christ. Would to God that sinners would come in and find life. Forgiveness of every sin. Pardon from every iniquity. Peace with God and eternal life. Pray God will bless this to you.